Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. It once again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Bill Murray. I'll be your host this evening. I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, and I am myself an adult survivor of child abuse. Tonight we have what we call a special topic night, and the special topic is another edition of For Our Kids. Now I want you to be aware of the fact that we have started a new project at NASCA called For Our Kids, and every 2 weeks we're going to do another show on a Thursday night, like tonight, on the topic that relates to the For Our Kids project. And what is the For Our Kids project? Well, it's Deborah Madison, Paula Cardullo, and Angela Boris, who will together lead discussions of various types about the rights of children and families in a series of these biweekly shows that deal with these topics. Every 2 weeks, there'll be a new theme that they'll present. Sometimes they'll bring in special guests speaking from their own experience, and sometimes they will feature certain themes subjects. Each of the 2 weeks will be different, but the two of them are from the British Columbia area in Canada, the province of British Columbia, which is the northwest corner of Canada. It's actually the southwest corner of Canada, north of the Washington state border. And Angela Bortz, who is from Oregon. So two are from Canada and one is from the United States. And some of the cases that they're going to talk about are from one country and some are from the other. But the issues are the same, you'll find, in the two countries. So whether we're talking about the United States or Canada, the topic is the same topic. Of course, we'd like you to also be aware of the fact that we've devoted a web page at NASCA to the For Our Kids, the web section, actually, it will become. But right now, if you go to NASCA.org and put in a forward slash, type in the words, as if it was one word, For Our Kids, FOROURKIDS. It'll take you to the beginning of what will become a bigger and bigger section of our website that will describe the project itself, and each show's individual description is listed as well. Which, as they say, is the second show. The first show was 2 weeks ago, our introductory show, and tonight is dealing with the topic of a couple of cases, one from Canada and one from the United States, that we'll talk about the welfare of kids in the legal system, whether or not it's doing a good job, also the support system for children and so forth. So we'll get to that in just a second. I want you to know the chat room is open, although I don't see anyone in there with me. Oh, yes, there's one guest in there with me. You're welcome to participate by going in the chat room, certainly, and that could be very helpful. To know that if you have a screen name at Blog Talk Radio or a login name at Blog Talk Radio, then you can type in the chat room. Otherwise, you can't type in the chat room. You can only read, you'll be listed as a guest. You can only read what other people type. So we know that you're probably interested in being able to participate. So get a screen name from Blog Talk Radio and then come in the chat room. I've got the link to the 4-Hour Kids page at NASCA.org. NASCA.org/4HourKids is that page, and that's in the chat room too. Tonight we have, as I say, these three special guest hosts, we'll call them, and I'm going to introduce them right now. First of all, from, let's see who's first. You could pick that out. And there you are. First of all, from Deborah Madison from British Columbia, Canada, I was the first person I'll introduce her, as I did last time. She is one of the three ladies who's going to do this over and over and over. Deborah Madison, thanks for being here tonight.
Hi, Bill. Actually, today we're doing in a slightly different order. I'll be going last. Paula is covering a case that is all over the media in Canada, breaking right out of Kamloops right now in her backyard.
Okay.
And then Angela is going to be talking about, these are all to do with abuses of families and children with special needs and disabilities by the ministry,
mm-hmm.
and how they're treated.
Mm-hmm.
So Angela will be also covering a case from the U.S. that many are familiar with. It was on Dr. Phil last month, the Justina Peltier case as well. So I'll be going last today and sort of tying it up to a case here.
Okay. Well, then let me bring on Paula next. Paula Cardullo, also from British Canada. She's another of the three ladies who's going to be helping us do these shows. And we bring her on next and get her to say hello. Paula, thanks for being here tonight.
Good evening. Nice to be here again with you guys.
Each time we do this, I'm just going to let you guys know, each time we do this, I'm going to introduce all three of you, and then we'll figure out the order, because I don't know what it's going to be. You guys are actually going to run the show, but I have to push the buttons and so forth. So, we're going to introduce all three of you, then we'll do them in whatever order you want. You're going to go first, Paula, when we get there?
Awesome. Yep,
okay.
I will.
Okay.
Nice to be back with you again.
Oh, yeah, we're delighted. And let me introduce the third party here who is going to be involved with tonight's show, and that's Angela Boris. She's the gal from Portland, Oregon, and she's the third of our special guest hosts, we'll call you, I guess. Angela Boyce is the single American, but I know she's not going to let them get away with that. And she's also going to make sure that some stories at least get included from the U.S. Angela, thanks for being here tonight.
Oh, awesome. I'm so glad to be here again tonight. I'm, you know, still got the nerves, but I'm excited.
That's okay. And we're going to have you go second, so we'll be back to you in just a moment. After Paula and before Deborah. Now, before we get started, Paula, I do still need to introduce two panelists who are here with us tonight who are also going to help us with tonight's show. First of all, our normal co-host for the Monday to Friday shows is Carol Levine. Everybody knows Carol. Carol is the author of Panic Child, a harrowing true story of sexual abuse and neglect. And as you know, she's a big volunteer here at NASCA. She represents us very well in the area she lives, which is Northwest New Jersey, and we'll bring her on. She'll be part of the panel, as will I, tonight. So, Carol, thanks for being here tonight.
Always happy to be here, Bill.
All right. And we'll get back to you in just a moment. And our final person I need to introduce, and then we'll get started with the body of the show, is, of course, Valerie. Valerie is from the Baltimore, Maryland area, and she's another one of our NASCA volunteers who is a frequent panelist. She also is the author of a book, although her book, unlike Carol's, whose book is autobiographical and in prose, Valerie's book is in poetry, and it's called The Monster's Game. Both books are available at Amazon. Carol's, The Panic Child book, is under Carol D. Levine, and Valerie's book, Monster's Game, is under the pseudonym Little Girl 413. So we want to welcome Valerie as well to the show as a panelist tonight. And thank her once again for being here. Hi, Val.
Hi. Good to be here and looking forward to our special guest this evening.
we're the special guest. I don't know who's the guest. We're the panelists, I guess, but these are guest hosts because it's really up to them. And the way this works, just so before we get to the Paula, one more time to explain it to the public, these gals have offered to lead a special project called For Our Kids. That's the general name of the project. For Our Kids is really the three of them, two of who are Canadians from British Columbia and one of who is an American from the United States, who are going to every 2 weeks bring another show to us on a Thursday night. So every 2 weeks on a Thursday night, we're going to hear something about the topic of the rights of children and families and how well or not well they're being followed in both the United States and Canada. Now, whether we're talking about the Ministry of Child and Family Development, which is what they call it in British Columbia, or the Child Protective Services Organization here, at the agency here in the United States, we're basically talking about the work that's done by social service workers in both countries. And in fact, the laws are a little different. There's so much similarity that we basically could be telling one story and not, without telling you which country it is, it might be even impossible to tell. So with that as a definition, we're going to ask them, they have a couple of cases that they're going to bring to our attention tonight. And I understand they have an order and they're going to do it. Last week, by the way, In the inaugural show, 2 weeks ago, I mean, they actually told, each of them told their own story. So we want you to refer to that if you wish to know their personal story. That's the way to do that, is go ahead and listen to the inaugural show. But without further ado, and this did take a little while to explain, I'll get it shorter, Paula, in the future. Let me reintroduce Paula Ciagulo from British Columbia and promise that I do better next time. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
We're doing great.
Oh, good. We want to focus, or I'd like to focus tonight on a story that's out of Kelowna. I'm in Kamloops. Kelowna's about 2 hours away from us, so their news hits ours and our news hits them. It hit the media on the weekend about a foster family. It's a mother and son team. The son's name is Clemens, and the mother's name is Eva. They've been foster parents for 20 years now. They've out of a lot of the foster children they had, they did adopt two boys, so that, you know, they became their sons. They've taken care of about 100 foster children over a 20-year period, and many of them with acute special needs. Mm-hmm. And in this time, they've had successful adoptions, and some kids they were able to enable these children to go home because these kids were taken unjustly by the ministry.
Right.
Now, what happened was a couple of years ago, I'd also like to mention that I had the honor of talking to Clemens last night for a couple hours on the phone. He posted his story on our MCFD Unjustified Facebook, and all week long I've been inundated with messages requesting that we highlight this show because there's two boys in question right now that are being removed, and they're slated to be taken May 30th. So
let me just, as we go along, let me make sure that people understand that all of these things you're mentioning are linked to the webpage at NASCA. Fact is, you've also got a new website started of your own, and so forth. So not only the Facebook page, but a new website are also sources for some of this information through tonight's show. So we don't want people to feel like we've left them in the lurch. They can actually follow along to some degree by going to the website and through the description of tonight's show.
Most of the information is on MCFD Unjustified's Facebook because it was late breaking. It was coming in so fast that I haven't had a chance to post anything on the website yet because we have another team member that does the website. So I have just been going crazy on Facebook with this. Because, of course, that's where people send you messages through, is through Facebook and emails and things like that. So, you know, we were getting a lot of requests to highlight this show because there's so many, well, the majority do not want these two boys removed. They are two boys with special needs. And how it began was the Coasters were having problems, behavioral issues with one of their sons, called the ministry to help. And long story short, they removed all the children. And, of course, you know, the accusations came, and all the accusations were proved false allegations. The investigation ended a year and a half ago, and the decision was made then to remove the boys. But a year and a half later, the boys stayed with them, and now they've decided to move them as of May 30th. Now, there is a doctor who has been the family doctor for this foster family for the whole 20 years they've been fostering children. He's very concerned about these children being removed. He was on the news, and he said that this family, the Coasters, have provided exemplary care for all the children, including the two foster boys. He describes the mother and son as devoted and kind. He's concerned about the ministry ignoring the advice from several physicians who want the children to stay in the care of this family. Now, Dr. Steinreich has stated, as many of us are stating about this ministry, that this ministry's power needs to be reviewed. And he also said he'd like to know who's protecting the children from this ministry. Some of his other quotes were that this foster family has a track record of being exemplary. They have been caring beyond reasonable. They have done a heroic job. And to put the boys in another home, even though the home may be well-meaning, is going to be very traumatic for these boys. Now, they have a farm and a home close to, Clemens runs his own business, and they have put hundreds of thousands of dollars in this home to renovate it to meet the needs of all the special children they have.
Yeah, that's actually. I want to ask a question about that. You said they have they've dealt with over 100 kids. They must have quite a home. It must be an institute.
It is. It is a. It's acreage. It's all set up for the kids. They have all the equipment that you could even imagine for these children. They have literally spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to be able to take care of these children properly.
And, when you say special needs kids, that of course includes kids in wheelchairs and things like that too. So
special
arrangement, obviously.
The news kind of walked around their home and showed their home, and I was just amazed at all the equipment in this home and the acreage and the playground that they have for the children and stuff. It's just remarkable. And a lot of this was done out of their own pocket.
Okay, I understand. Go ahead. Please continue.
Okay. They even put all their children into the Kelowna Christian School there out of their own pocket, which the ministry said they would reimburse them for and did not. Now they are facing, of course, they have tried to, Clemens went and talked to the director about it, and the director said that he would look into it. And he never did. Now they've been called into a meeting, and they've been denied being able to bring advocates with them. And it says right on the ministry website that if you wish to bring an advocate, you are entitled to bring an advocate to meetings. And the ministry has told their advocates that they are not to attend the meetings with them. And I believe Clemens was in a meeting today. He is going to give me an update on what's happening. I haven't heard from him yet, so, you know, I assume they're still in the meetings or whatever. They've had three or four physicians say that it would be wrong to remove these children from there, and they're still going to do it anyway. Now, their farm and home is now possibly they're going to have to sell it if they lose all their kids.
Wow.
So, you know, they're at risk of also losing their home because of all the money that they've put into this. They describe They have said if the boys don't remain in their home, they will no longer be able to be foster parents after their grueling and family-destroying experience with this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It is, to me, it's just that unfathomable. Now, I would like to read you a letter, and you'll excuse
sure.
me if I get emotional. This letter
That's
was
okay.
written by a 10-year-old girl who goes to school with one of the boys. And she wrote it and sent it to one of the newspapers in Kelowna, and they published it. So if I am able to, I'd like to read this to you.
Okay.
It says, okay. It says, my name is Madison, and I am 10 years old. I have a friend named Hunter who lives in Kelowna. He has been living with a wonderful foster family since he was a baby. I have heard that he's going to be removed from his home and his school. This makes me so sad. I may be only 10, but God has given me a special gift to see Hunter on the inside when others only see him on the outside. We have been friends since preschool. I have seen Hunter with his mom. I know she is so loving and caring. Hunter has so many friends at his school. No one would want to see him leave so suddenly. He loves our school and all his friends. I love to make him smile. I am worried that if he goes to another school, he would have no friends because they have not grown up with him. Please look into this. I would hate to see Hunter leave his family and school. He can't talk, and I am his best friend, so I want to talk for him. Madison.
Wow.
Yeah,
right.
If that
Let's
doesn't rip your heart out, I don't know what will.
Let's get a couple of comments from Carol and Valerie, and then we'll get back to a couple. Well, we'll leave you on the line, so if they want to ask you a question, you can respond to them. Let me go to Carol first. Quite a story here, Carol. We've heard of parents like this who have had multiple answer the door, please. Can somebody just knock? Yeah, multiple.
Well,
no?
Do you mean like having children to care for?
Yeah, multiple children. We featured with about 38 children or someone that had over the years done it, but they didn't have the kind of acreage this family does. And here's a family who's seen over 100. Quite an accomplishment in itself. Well, what do you think about what we're hearing tonight about the caves?
Okay, now what I want to say here, first of all, the guest that we had on, his name is Arnold, and I'd like to have him back on. But he was a wonderful, he and his wife both.
Tonight's story?
Well, let me finish. Took really good care of these children. And what you're speaking about tonight, shows that they had, you know, they have a lot of love in them, and these children certainly need this place to stay. And I don't understand why the ministry, even with doctors and everything else, letters from doctors and so forth, why they would even be removed just because one child had a little bit of a behavioral issue.
Well, you know, that's the story for the ages, because this is their modus operandi.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you fight, your punishment is they ignore you and they take the children away anyway.
Well, that's sad.
This is an epidemic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it is very sad because these children, they come to consider these people to be their parents. They felt secure. They have wonderful care. These people put in, like you said, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of special needs equipment. And so forth and so on. They were supposed to be reimbursed for quite a few different things, and the ministry just turned their head on them and their back on them. I think it's horrific. I think it's awful. And you know who's suffering, don't you?
The boys.
That's right. You see, children need a stable home. And being that they're on top of it all, they have special needs. This just makes their plight in life even much worse, okay? So here they were feeling secure and happy and safe and having a good time, and then this happens. No, it's very bad.
They have been in that home for 10 years. They have been in that school for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They have one-on-one care from this family, and now they want to pull them out of that school and put them in a group home. Now, one of the boys, from what I understand, the Clemens' mother, Eva, is in her 70s, very healthy, even the doctor said she's very healthy. She takes very good care of the kids one-on-one. One of the boys has to be fed, which she does every night. And the doctor has said if this little boy is removed and put into a group home, they will have to put a feeding tube in him to be fed.
Oh, God, yeah.
So that is another thing that he will have to go through.
Right. And you see, that's all very sad. You see, to be a foster parent, you have to have, I mean, a good foster parent, you have to have love in your heart for children, heavy-duty love in your heart, and then to have special needs children on top of it, which makes the job even so much harder, and to have so many, and to put so much into it. It's just, you know, there's just nothing I can say about it except it's shame on them. You know, and the ministry should be, what's wrong with this ministry?
If you could talk to him, it would break your heart. Like I said, I was on the phone with him over 2 hours, and it was all I could do to choke back my tears. I could feel the love with him and his mother have for these boys and how it's breaking his heart. And yet, he is saying, if they have to leave, then I will do anything to cooperate with the ministry to make it as easy as possible for these boys. This man is a man of courage. And
sure.
I cannot believe that they would do this. And he kept saying to me over and over again, this is not about me, it's about the boys. It's all about the boys.
Mm-hmm. And what stage are they up to now? Or how close are they to losing these kids and these kids losing this foster family?
May 30th, they're getting moved. And, you know, I mean, there is nothing more that Clemens and Eva can do anymore. There's no appeal process. There's nothing. Once the ministry makes a decision, they make a decision. So on Facebook, I supplied phone numbers to the minister's office, emails to the minister's office, the deputy minister's office, and I started telling people around Canada, and even some from the States offered to help, start phoning, start emailing the media, the minister, because it would be a tragedy for these children to be moved from their home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On top of that letter I wrote you, I just wanted to let you know, they go to a Christian school, 50 kids from the school went into the principal's office and asked to go into the chapel to be able to pray for these children to stay in their home.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me get one more panelist comments here. Before we push forward. Valerie, what do you think about the story we're hearing tonight from Paula?
Oh, it's so maddening. You know, you hear so many cases of kids being left in homes where they don't belong, and then you have this. It's just an egregious overstep of power. You know, these people getting in these positions where they have this power, and they abuse it. And, you know, there's so many incompetent people. And I think this is all about power. I don't even think it's about incompetence. I think, you know, somebody made the wrong decision in the beginning, and now they're going to, you know, they're going to die by that decision because they won't want to admit that they're wrong because, you know, they just want the power of their position.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. What do you think about that? Do you think politics has something to do with not wanting to look bad or something, or do you have an idea why this is going on?
I get so much feedback from the public saying, oh, it's about money, and they get bonuses and this and that. And having worked in the government, I can tell you, it's not about money, it's not about bonuses. The only people that get bonuses are the minister, the assistant deputy minister, and the deputy minister. If they meet their budgets in April, you know, by Christmas time, they get a nice big fat budget. This is not about money. This is about I can do whatever I want to do. I had a social worker tell one of my medical specialists, when my medical specialist questioned their tactics, you know what the manager's response was? We are accountable to no one. And that's what it's about. It's about power. Absolute power breeds absolute corruption.
Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of power, expression of power. Okay.
Yes.
Carol and I join Valerie in her expression of shock kind of at this, and you What would you like the public to do before we move on to the next story? Is there a campaign that can happen?
Well, what I would like to do, and I would need your help, Bill, is I can send you the emails and the phone numbers, and if you could post it on the For Our Kids under tonight's show, then maybe we can get a phone campaign and an email campaign going on.
Well, I'm going to actually ask you guys to do that on your site. What I want to do is I want to get people used to the fact that you have a website that's a part of the project we're doing, and that they can always go there. And your website needs to be current, because I'm already kind of overworked with, you know, keeping mine current. And rather than duplicate services, we'll just start teaching them to go there. It is linked now. Yeah, it is linked there now off the, and it'll always stay there off the top of this For Our Kids section of our website. But that way we don't have to duplicate the services over and over again. So whatever stories you cover, please put the background and whatever you know, the action required, requests and so forth on the new site. Let's tell them what it is. Let me see what's it called. I got it linked there, but let me. LadyArbitas.wix.com, and then MCFG-Unjustified. It's a long name. We're just going to click here, you know, on our website so that they don't have to remember it over and over and over again. And we'll learn over time that that's the place they can always go for background and information and even action suggestions on each of those stories that are covered on all the eventual. There'll be quite a number of, issues covered on your shows every 2 weeks. How's that?
And that's great. And on our website, we also have a tab that says NASCA on it, and it's got all of your guys' information on it as well. So we will post the emails and the phone numbers and stuff for people to do a phone and email campaign on the NASCA tab of our website.
Perfect. All right. Paula, thank you very much for handling story number one, and Valerie and Carol for your comments. And now we're going to move on to story number two, and then we'll do kind of a roundup story at the end. You know, we'll bring everybody on at the end, but so as to be able to include all the stories. The second story is going to be handled by guest host Angela Borths from Portland, Oregon. Let me bring her back on. Angela, you're back on with the group here, and you have story number two, or section number two of tonight's show, apparently, right? Did I get that right? Okay, you're on.
Tonight, I wanted to talk about something that it really caught my attention, just because I kind of went through something like this myself. It's Justina Peltier.
Okay.
Can I just ask you
if there's a lot of clicking going on? Are you hearing it too?
Yeah, I am.
Because it didn't come on. I'm going to close your mic just for a second and come back. It might be your mic. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, as soon as I muted your mic over there, Angela, it went off. So I don't know if there's any way that you can adjust something slightly or maybe not move. Maybe that's part of it. I'm going to bring you back on now. We'll see if it continues.
No, it works?
We still got this background sound.
Oh, no.
Are you on a headset or anything?
No, I'm not.
On a regular phone? A regular phone, Angela?
Yeah, I'm on a regular phone.
Okay. Can I ask if it would be possible for you to call us right back, hang up and call us right back, and I'll bring you right back on, too. Is that possible? Just in case it's the line, okay? Okay, thanks. All right, Angela Borts is going to hang up for us and then call right back in. Sometimes this happens, we apologize, but there are things beyond our control, so-called technical difficulties that, believe me, they don't give me a lot of tools here on my end, but I do the best I can, and sometimes it's just simply necessary to have people call back in, and here she is already, didn't take long, so let me bring her back on and see how we're doing now. Okay, wow, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here. Is it better?
totally different. Thank you very much. Okay, we're ready to move ahead. Thank you so much. Okay. So for story, section number two, here we go. Go ahead, Angela.
Okay. So, yeah, I was saying I'm talking about Justina Pelletier. It was brought to my attention, or I noticed it just because it's something that I kind of had gone through myself. And bear with me. The name of the diagnosis, mitochondrial disease, I can't pronounce it. She was diagnosed with it years ago, and, you know, she had gotten sick, and her parents had taken her to one hospital. They transferred her over to another hospital, and within days of being there, they decided that instead of it being this problem, one diagnosis, they decided it was all in her head just because of the way the parents had been reacting, wanting them to pay attention and get the help that their daughter needed. And, you know, I mean, honestly, a lot of times you're going to see a lot of doctors that, you know, one says one thing, another says another thing, and it should be a parent's right to kind of weigh ourselves and decide, you know, hey, I think maybe a second or even a third opinion would be good. But when mm-hmm. they decided that they didn't agree with this here second opinion, that's when within minutes there was security just right there at the door blocking them, keeping them from their daughter. You know, they were kicked out of the hospital. You know, of course, I've seen the case where, you know, when the judge had decided that the state was going to keep their daughter, you know, the mom had fainted. I mean, this was just so emotional for the family, for the sisters. And we've seen the pictures of their daughter from before and then now the after at this new Boston hospital. Well, so I went ahead and I started looking up Boston Hospital myself and found out that within the past 18 months, they've had five other cases like this as well where they disagreed with the original diagnosis from some other hospital, and so they decided they wanted to pull the rights of the parents and take these children. Now, the original diagnosis that Justina Pelletier had, you know, I, of course, looked it up, and I have found a lot of children that, you know, under the right care are thriving and look well, just as Justina Pelletier did before. And, you know, mm-hmm. now, of course, we see her in a wheelchair. You know, as well, Justina's father went on to Dr. Phil, and they spoke,
yes.
You know, Dr. Phil, I thought, he said, well, we'll see. But then as Dr. Phil followed along, you know, he really felt that something different should be done. Dr. Phil actually called to the Massachusetts Child Protective Services, you know, to make his recommendations, and they would not even respond to him. They completely ignored him, you know, and let me see. Sorry, I'm still trying to look at my notes.
Take your time. Take your time.
Oh, my God. I lost my notes.
That's all right.
Anyway, so
kind of unusual. People wouldn't take a call from somebody like him. He's so well known as an activist and so forth.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That must have been
surprising. When I found that,
I
was like, wait a minute. You know, he actually had called three times with, you know, he just wanted to speak with them about his recommendations. You know, he'd done the show, kind of a backup thing, and he in his mind felt that what was happening wasn't right and, you know, had decided himself to make these calls. And they just wouldn't even respond to him, and which, you know, had disgusted him, you know. So myself, I know that the woman that was running Massachusetts, I'm probably going to the wrong place, Olga Roach, the woman that was running the Child Protective Service office at the time, while under her care, you know, a few of the investigations that should have been done a little differently weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Three
mm-hmm.
other children had died while under their direction. And I started to get really irritated with this woman, especially when, you know, she didn't even make any kind of response to the Justina Pelletier case at all. I mean, I looked everywhere to see if she would even respond to it, and she did not even, not anywhere in the media. She did not make any kind of, you know, nothing, no comment.
All right.
And everybody was talking about it.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get some comments from Carol and Valerie. And, again, we're going to ask you, your group, to post any kind of action, and that's how we'll mark them, I guess, action requests for each of the segments of the show, so that people can, you know, easily find what it is that you recommend that they do. But let's get comments here from Carol and then Valerie in that order and see what they think about this case. Carol, the case in Massachusetts sounds pretty bad, too. And Dr. Phil's not being answered. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, there's some people that think he's great, and then there's others that don't. I kind of like him, to be honest with you. But anyway, I do believe that I know the case that you're speaking about, okay? I followed it a little bit. And I do remember seeing the girl failing. The family was beside her in the hospital bed, and she was getting sicker and sicker and sicker looking, if this is the correct case, and I believe it is. I remember this. And they didn't want her to go home, and they felt that there was something wrong with the family. All kinds of things are happening. Now, I do not understand. I can't pronounce the name of the disease either. In fact, I forget the name of it. But the point is this. I do remember this case. I don't completely remember the outcome. Did she die or not?
No,
I know she
right
looked
now,
very bad.
She's been moved back to her own state finally in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a recent thing, so we don't know how she's faring since. I mean, we did know that she was sitting out help me letters any way she could, but
well, it was horrific because she went in, she looked like she looked healthy, she looked fine. I mean, she went in as a pretty young girl. I remember this. And as time went by, she deteriorated. It was awful. And I don't know what's going on. I think power is a good word. Yes, too many places have power. I know hospitals can, you know, they have their ways. They push people around. They push, you know, and all this other stuff. And I think some of that should be taken from them, especially when people who should be of higher power are involved, okay? And they should be made to answer certain specific questions, which would give more of an answer to this girl and the others that actually did die. They're talking about online petitions, by the way. I just wanted to bring this up. Maybe that would be a good way to go as well.
Well, that's up to the ladies what actions they want to establish, but, of course, that's one of the paths they could take.
I think they'd
put it on their website.
Mm-hmm.
And put it on their website if they want. And put it on
their
website if
they want. That would actually be better, Bill.
I was talking.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Carol.
Are you sure?
No, but
okay.
Go ahead. I don't think I have a choice. Go ahead.
All right, I will. They were talking about online petitions quite a bit in there, so I said that I would bring it up when it was my turn. So, therefore,
right.
I am bringing it up. Okay.
Yes, you did. Yes. And that's up to the ladies, is the point. Whatever actions they wish for each of these cases, there may be some direct emails that they want people to write to as opposed to whatever they want. You know, we'll ask them to put it on their website, and we'll obviously help. We're going to support their efforts, and because they are the group that's doing this, you know, it'll be up to them. But that is, of course, one option, and thank you for bringing it up, Carol. Let's get a comment from Valerie. Now, well, before I go to Valerie, let me be clear. Angela, this is not a disease that this woman has where she needs to have so much special care that a home couldn't provide it, the home she's in. Is that correct?
No, that's correct. The home that she's in can provide it. It's just the different types of medications that she needs. And, of course, you know, the TLC, really. You know, to go with it that she needs from her parents.
Right, but I want to make it clear to our listeners that we're not talking about the reason she's being moved is because she needs some kind of extravagant equipment or close by support or something like that. That she could be she could stay at home as well. Okay, Valerie, you're back on with Angela.
Well, I, I think this is, you know, similar to the other case, even though, I mean, it's a different story. It's people, you know, overreaching their bounds of authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't have a right to make these decisions, you know, in a bubble.
We get a lot of, but probably a lot of these cases are going to be similar to this, Val, because a lot of, like we said earlier, a lot of healthcare situations involve workers who think that, you know, they're playing God, you know, and whatever they say, they're the be all and end all of it all. And of course, they should obviously be an ingredient in all these things. The welfare of the child should be the bottom line, though, not the opinion of any one group or another, but the basic benefit of the child. So maybe that's part of what's going on here too. And that's another way to say the power struggle, I guess.
One thing as a parent, when I walk into the doctor's office and the doctor says, "Here, this is how it is," okay. As a parent, I'm going to advocate for my child. I'm going to question him because I'm concerned about my kid. And the caseworkers don't question the authority of the hospital. They just follow along like it's some kind of a god that they're, you know, their word is just almighty, and there's no such thing as a second opinion. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's no such thing as finding some other solution. It's just a one way, my way, or the highway.
And that's actually a good point for us to examine, both in Canada and the United States. You know, who does have the authority to be a second opinion or a third opinion in these cases, or is there a wall between whatever is decided with Child Protective Services and anybody else interceding? Are we aware of any child welfare organizations that do step in or anything like that, Angela?
Some CASAs, you know, some child advocates here and there, but in the long run, they have to follow along generally with whatever Child Protective Services is doing and just try to make it as good, you know, as comfortable for the child as they can, and
mm-hmm.
and advocate certain things like, hey, this is making them uncomfortable, but still, they have to just pretty much follow along, or Child Protective Services boots them out of it too.
Okay.
Anyone that opposes them, they get.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's a little confusing. I got so many people and so many things to follow. Thank you, Val, for your comment. And we'll go on now, Angela, and we'll come back to this case if we need to, of course. But again, the action item or items that they wish for each of these cases will be on their website after the show. And now to give us some further thought is the third guest host for tonight. This is getting confusing. Deborah Madison, it's fine. Deborah, thanks for being patient. I know you've had some things you wanted to say about both cases, so this is your chance.
No problem, Bill. Thank you. Well, the thing is that there is actually a real unifying theme through everything we're speaking about tonight. And Valerie, I really want to start with what you said when you said that all of these cases start with one inexperienced worker or overworked or not spending the time making a wrong decision, and then rather than just saying, oh no, we've made a mistake here, let's fix it, they will bring all the resources down to cover making the original wrong decision. And having worked in policing myself, I can tell you 100% with complete certainty that is actually how these types of agencies do operate. It doesn't
right.
come down to where did we fail the civilian, how can we do it better next time. It comes to, oh my goodness, how do we cover up what we've done and mitigate
right.
our responsibility? And of course, like in MCFD or CPS or social services, we kind of police ourselves in policing. So we run into the same issues of corruption. But today, it's not so much about corruption as about how they're treating people and children, parents and children with disabilities and special needs. You almost become instantly disposable. It's almost
mm-hmm.
as if, and what thoroughly, thoroughly offends me is, in this case, it just so happened that out of the blue, I'm guessing probably to do with an email campaign we have going, a social worker who had been working on my case for months and months and months but never returned a call, out of the blue turned up at my home yesterday. So I recorded the entire thing. I would like people to know that in Canada, I cannot speak for the U.S., but in Canada, it is 100% legal to record these conversations. You do not have to show them the recorder. They will tell you it is not legal, and it is. I invited her to read the criminal code with me to discuss it. She was not pleased. However, I would like to talk about how they treat people with disabilities as to what happened to me yesterday.
Hold on a second, Deborah. Let's refresh people's minds who weren't with us 2 weeks ago or who have not got it fresh. That your case is involving, when you say your case, you mean your own personal story, which we related 2 weeks ago, but nobody would remember.
Yeah.
Well, few would remember. So just give us a very quick one sentence or two sentence description of what story's about.
Well, I wasn't actually going to go back to my case today, except she showed up yesterday, and it fell right into this disability issue. And
sure.
I don't know if I didn't really go into it too deeply last time, but I do have lupus. I do have IBS. I have a disability that allows me to – I run a 12-acre nonprofit. We have horses, animals, day camps, things like that. I just can't travel very well. And I do have to take some medications because that's just what happens when you have a chronic, serious disability. And my child was taken because there was an accidental fire and I got sick afterwards. And while I was getting treatment for smoke inhalation, I was told because I had a disability, well, I shouldn't be able to raise my own child. And then
right.
I was told because I was given prescription medication, I must be an addict. So what I did was I took two hair tests. They've had my child for almost 8 months. They have not let me know where she is. I've never been allowed to see her again or hear from her or know anything about her. She has special needs, my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She has serious asthma, and they have taken her off all of her medications, which terrifies me. She was under the care of a top pediatrician, but the social workers have decided that they know more than the pediatricians, and her medication is expensive, so they have simply discontinued it. And I asked the social worker, what happens if what you're doing to my child causes her to get hurt or killed while in your care? And she told me, I said, what is your accountability? And she said, I don't have any. That is your problem. And so she then went on, and I said, well, why is my child not being returned to me? You have three doctor's reports from three separate hospitals, three separate psychiatric reports, and two hair tests that all say I have no medical, psychiatric, or addiction issues. And she folded her arms and said, we don't have to listen to their reports. If we think you have a mental illness and a drug addiction, then you do. She said, if you won't go into a rehab and you won't, she started outlining these things, and I said, well, I went to three separate addictions counseling places to get evaluated, and after all of my hair tests were passed, they said that I could not commit fraud by taking a bed that a legitimate addict needed. And she told me if I could not make that happen, I could not have my child, because even though all the doctors agreed that there was nothing in my hair that wasn't prescribed, the fact that they said that, well, now you can't say that your doctor should have given it to you in the first place. So we can call it an addiction. So then out of the blue, she shows up because I started phoning and phoning and putting pressure. But then she told me that because I had been phoning and emailing and putting pressure on her, that if I was to fight for my child anymore, and this is very important, that first of all, they cut off my disability, so now I have no income. And then she came to my door and said, we will shut down your nonprofit and take your home. I have it all recorded. So they actually told me if I keep, because they want to now, and Bill, this probably resonates with you, they are looking to place my child with known child abusers. We have medical and legal reports backing this up. and they want to place her with them because they were the only people that were able to see her on supervised visitation because they kept her 1,800 kilometers away from me. So they told me that because I couldn't visit her because they abducted her so far from home, that I don't care, never mind that I'm disabled and don't have the funds. So now I've been told that if I fight them, placing them her with these known abusers, they will also they have taken my pension away and they will take my home and shut down my nonprofit. So I just want to note that on the NASCA tab, under my contact information, I would greatly encourage everybody to go there because I am only going to have more emails and fight harder because there is absolutely no way I'm going to have her tell me that me and my daughter are disposable because I'm disabled. And to take away $800 a month from somebody who's barely making it while paying a foster family almost $4,000 a month between what they get and all the benefits they're getting from my child is disgusting and disgraceful while trying to put me on the street. So tell me that is not targeting people who have disabilities or low income and trying to cover up when they do these things.
Okay. Now,
I'm so sorry to have to say that.
No, that's all right. We have quite a discussion going on in the chat room, too, and I want to keep us on track with the fact that we have a finite amount of time. We still have plenty of time for tonight's show, but also because this is only the second show we're doing, that people need to understand the appropriate place to follow up for any of these stories that they're hearing tonight. And that would be true for last week's show, too.
Yes.
Last week's show, again, to remind you, last week's show was each of these ladies has their own personal story of what they've gone through and what situation they're in right now as far as the fact that they have all taken care of or all have issues with either Child Protective Services in our country or in Canada, the thing that's similar in Canada, which in British Columbia is called the Ministry of Child and Family Development, MCFD. But regardless, whether you want to reach out to them to help for their case for last week or any of the cases you're hearing about now, the information, the way to transmit that your willingness to help them or to get more information about these cases is to go to their website, which is brand new. But it's available off of our website. So we're going to ask you to go to NASCA.org for our kids and then click on the link that will take you to the new website that's still being updated. But it will be constantly updated and constantly current with either information about previous shows or information about upcoming shows or, on the case of a show like tonight, information that relates to the current show that we're doing. So that's where you're going to want to go. Right now, it's on the front page of the it's on the page of our website under ladyarbutus.wix.com/ncfd.unjustified. Don't worry about remembering all that because as soon as the show ends, I'm going to replace it with simply click here. And you won't have to remember the big long name. And you'll go to their website where you pick up all that information. Okay, does that sound fair, Deborah?
That sounds excellent. Bill, could I do one quick thing if that's okay with you? I just really wanted to give a huge thank you to, I've had an incredible legal advocate named Tracy Baxter come forward here, and she has been working tirelessly with me on putting together, you know, this show and several others and working on a lot of we're working on new legislation here and test cases. We're putting a lot together behind the scenes, and I just really wanted to thank her for how much she's done, all for free, all volunteer, all because she cares.
All right. So I'm going to put, it's going to say, you know, for information on any and all of these shows, please click here, and it'll take them to your website, which is at the very difficult to transmit over the air web address, but it's called For Our Children, and everything that you need to know about all these shows will end up over time being there. And, you know, this is a work in progress, so we're all trying to, you know, get it smoother. So, and it'll be.
Yeah.
I'll fix that immediately after the show. We'll say for any information about any of the following shows, go to, and it'll just say click here. Go ahead, Deborah.
Oh, sorry, to get to my email campaign, just click on my Facebook. It takes you right to it. under your NASCA tab. If they click under my name, any of those will take them straight to the one for the test cases we're doing for the new legislation.
Okay. Again, it gets kind of there's so many links now already. We need one place.
The same one that's been there since last week. That link will never change for me. Yeah. Under your tab.
Under you.
Okay. Under my name on your tab.
Not the read the stories one. Not the read the stories one, though. The Facebook one.
No, just the contact.
The contact one. Okay.
Yes.
We'll work this out.
It's all on there. Terrific.
Let's get some comments from Carol and then Aunt Valerie, and then we'll include all three of you again, and we'll do a sort of a general the wrap up of the theme for the whole show. But let's get a comment or so from Carol. Carol, you're back on with Deborah.
Oops. I don't feel well. I should have gone to bed tonight and said, boop. But anyway, I just wanted to make comments about the hair follicles. Yes, they can, they can tell what you're taking, what kind of drugs. We used to use that even years ago. And the very fact that you came up with what you were prescribed, I mean, this whole thing is horrific. It's just these people, they cover their own asses. I'm going to be straight here because I've worked in social services and I've worked in all different kinds of places. Not going to mention on air. But anyway, the point is this. When someone makes a mistake, they cover for each other. And a lot of times they make wrong decisions. They send kids back to where they shouldn't go. They make terrible decisions. Kids get hurt. They get killed. In your case, I don't know why you can't have your child back if you've taken these tests. And, you're obviously not an addict. The whole thing sucks in plain English. That's how I feel tonight.
That about echoes my feelings pretty exactly, actually.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Don't be shy about expressing yourself, Carol.
Well,
no.
I never am. We know this.
I know. No. All right, let's get a comment from Val. Let me move her mic on. Okay, Valerie, a comment or question for Deborah about what you heard in that segment?
Yeah, first of all, ditto.
Thank you.
Yeah, this just infuriates me, and I've seen this, over and over again. I've seen, children taken from homes that are good homes for, very minor things, yet, children are put back into homes where they shouldn't be put. And I have firsthand experience with that with, my nieces that were taken and for good reason. And, three times were put back in the same home where they were being abused and neglected. Yet, a good parent loses a child for no good reason. A friend of mine that was raising her great-granddaughter, granddaughter was taken from her, and it was the same kind of thing. There was no good reason for it. It's just so maddening. They just need to overhaul the whole thing and get, get some competent people I don't know if it's a matter of, the way the system's set up with the rules that they have to follow it's just a travesty. Our children are not being served by any of this.
Right. I often feel like we gotta really dismantle things before we have a chance at fixing them, because they're not really fixing them with Band-Aids and rubber bands and duct tape doesn't seem to work well, right?
And empty promises.
It seems like we really got to start over in a lot of these cases. So I agree with Val. What do you think, Deborah? Start over?
Well, not just start. Actually, we have the mandates in place. What they need is to start at the beginning and follow them as mandated. And what we actually need is an oversight committee that ensures that. So when a step is skipped, you go right back to the beginning. Because what happens here, and I know it's very similar in the U.S., is that they are now treating family court with MCF, or with social services, like a remand court. And what parents don't understand is your very first appearance in court is your only chance, where all the onus is on social services to present all the reasons why they should not return your child. But you don't know that when you show up in court. What happens is you have no lawyer, or you have a legal aid lawyer, and I know this happens because it's not just me. I can't list the thousands of cases I have of like this. And they tell you, oh, you're not prepared for a trial today. Put it over. And they put it over. What you have just done is lost your right to a presentation hearing, having your child back right away. Now it's going to drag through the courts. You're using up your legal aid lawyers because they charge you for a full day, even though all they did was put it over. And it's created a legal duck blind, meaning that the government agencies responsible for overseeing social services, they have a policy of, we don't review cases that are before the courts. Since every case comes before the court in North America within about a two-week deadline, we are very close in Canada and the U.S., all those parents don't know that the first date where they're told, we'll put it over for a couple weeks so you're more prepared, or whatever reason they give them, or my lawyer's not prepared, or whatever, you have just lost your one and only right to both a presentation hearing, and now you're before the court, so you can no longer get a review. That creates an absolute zero accountability, so there is absolutely no motivation to resolve a case. None.
Mm-hmm.
Not for legal aid and not for the social workers. They get paid to take them on. They get raises for having too many. Nobody gets paid on a solution-oriented basis of resolving cases, which would, I am pretty sure, completely clear the backlog of legal aid and family courts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I really, again, think it's a matter of starting over. I don't know from what. Obviously, you're starting over, but you're in the middle of the flow, because there are how many kids in our countries that are subjected to these systems, and they're dependent on them. You know,
I know more than 60,000 that have been murdered by this system that we know of here in Canada,
and that is a genocide.
I'm sorry, but that's a genocide. And the numbers are not going down. They're going up.
No, that's right. So that time is of the essence that we start taking this much more seriously and start taking actions on them. And again, I've just updated the page while we were talking so that it now reads, and this is the For Our Kids page off the NASCA website. It now reads, under new announcement, a new website supports these shows. For info, support, and suggested action items on any and all of the topics and shows, click here for our children. So you'll only have to click on that where it says click here, and that's already posted just now. And then there's a paragraph about the new website, and it concludes again with, here's the actual URL for the new website called For Our Children, and now it gives the web address itself in its full. But to make it easier, the first thing you encounter, it simply says, click here for our children, and it'll take you to the page that these ladies have now posted, and it'll be regularly updated in support of all the shows that they do in the future, but also the show last 2 weeks ago, the first show, and then this show. And if you want to get in touch with them, if you want to learn about more in depth about any of the shows and topics, if you want to learn what action items they've prepared for you to take, all of it will be available on that just by clicking here on For Our Children, and you'll go right to their website. So how's that? That sounds at least like a good beginning, and it's already posted. So let me get Paula and Angela back on so the three of you can comment together, and then we're going to go to our panel again. But let me open Paula's mic. Whoa, it's not cooperating. We've got to close it first, then open it again. Yeah, see, I learned these tricks, Paula, over time. Paula, you're back on with Deborah, and I'm going to include Angela, too. And now Angela's there. So the three of you are along with me on the air right now, and I just want to see if there's a kind of a general consensus about the theme for the show or from the three of you.
Well, there was a comment I wanted to make to address something that Valerie had said. And when we were talking about the ministry, and she had said we need to get some competent people. The Deputy Minister, Mr. Mark Sieben, of the Ministry for Children and Family here in BC, told them, it was quoted in the newspaper a few months ago, that they are having trouble hiring and keeping staff for that ministry. And I really believe that one of the reasons is because people do not want to deal with their tactics, and all the good people have left because for them it's about the kids, it's not about the power. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. what's left over are the people that like the power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a big concern. Because if they can't even make their own employees happy or keep their own house, how can they keep someone else's house?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ladies, you're all. It's up to you guys. Where you want to take the discussion at this point? Because
I'd like to make a comment on what Paula said there about losing the good people.
Sure.
Because the social worker that came to my house, ironically, was rather new, according to her, and was already teaching a student who she had with her. And honest to goodness, while I was speaking to them, at one point the student had a tear in his eye, and I thought, this is someone who cares. He's not going to last. I got up to go to the washroom because I got sick. I won't lie. I was so stressed from their visit and the way she was laughing at me and making fun of me like I was just, you know, telling me, I don't care what you say. Ha ha, you're mentally ill. You're an addict. You know, you take Tylenol 3. It's like, okay, my doctor prescribes it. But no, well, we can't tell how much. Yes, you can. My prescriptions and my hair test show making fun of me. So I went to the washroom and my friend was sitting in the other room and she was, started doing this grotesque mimicry of me, like making fun of me like I was this crazy person, and didn't, because mm-hmm. she couldn't see my friend in the other room, and the student looked into the room and was horrified and turned to the worker and put his hand up like, stop. And I remember when I came out, I thought, why couldn't he be the worker? Because he was taking notes. He was listening. I asked her to take notes. She said, I don't have to take notes. I said, you told me you have more cases than you can handle. How do you keep them straight if you don't take notes? She said, I don't have to take notes. I said, could you write down for me, please, what the issues are and what I can do to get my child back? She said, I don't have to do that either. And she said, why don't you go request your own file? So that's what I mean. The good people that care, they get trained by these incompetent, power-hungry, and really cruel people. That was very, very cruel. I was crying because my heart is broken. My child is turning 4 next month, and I've almost lost her entire 3rd year. And she was laughing at me and making fun of me like I was a joke, and actually told me to get over it. If a stranger had abducted my child, the whole news would be covering it, and we'd be covering the anniversary every year. But every year, tens of thousands of children are abducted from very good homes. And because the ministry has no accountability and because people don't want to believe that they take them from good homes, we're told to get over it. And nobody ever gets over the loss of a child. I'm sorry. No real parent ever truly does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look at Casey Anthony. I was told, get over it. You're insane for being upset. And yet the whole world wanted to kill Casey Anthony when her child disappeared and she went partying, because every parent on earth said that woman killed her child, because no parent on earth could be happy not knowing where their child is. And yet if MCFD takes your child and you cry or get upset or have a stress reaction, you are mentally ill. And see, she was going to crack anyways, so she deserved to lose her child. And that's what I've been dealing with. It's being on a hamster wheel. Every time they throw a concern, I get another report, and, oh, we're not going to look at that one. So, I mean, how much is it costing our medical system for all these reports they ignore, and, you know, people going into the hospital from the stress and losing their jobs and going on disability? I mean, the ripples go forever. They never
mm-hmm.
stop. They destroy whole communities.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's burying us all. We're losing our future.
Wow. Well, you know, and that is one of the... Go ahead. Finish up.
I'm sorry. I just
it's kind of the same. I want to kind of approach this at a little bit different angle, though, because, you know, as a former foster kid, honestly, it's like telling a child, ripping them from a loved family, it's like telling them, we're going to cut off your arm, and then we're going to show you how to live without it. Okay, mm-hmm. And the kid, of course, is going to remember how it felt. He's going to remember his arm. And these kids are suffering from this and told to, you know, just deal without your parents, just deal without this. These caseworkers are, as I have feel about it, rhinos. They have this tunnel vision, this one-way thinking, and they don't see how badly they're really hurting everyone, you know,
okay.
off to the side there. All they see is their one focused thing, what they want,
and
their power.
I have one comment, technical comment on your voice. You may have your computer sound on, and if so, you need to turn your computer sound off. Whenever you're on the show, we're hearing an echo from you, so maybe it's, cup your earphone, cut it to your ear or something, because we're hearing a duplicate sound. Anyway, it's not a huge problem, and we understood what you said. So let's move ahead. I get some comments from Carol and Valerie. I'm going to open their mics up. I'm going to do just the opposite. I'm going to open their mics up, and I'm going to close the three of you just so we can get some final comments from the panel here. Carol, you want to start? And Valerie, your microphone's open too, and the three of us can maybe do some concluding comments, then throw it back to the ladies to finish the show.
Well, my heart breaks for you for not being able to get your child back, you know, and of course you're just going to keep doing everything that you can do to get your child back. Unfortunately, too many people get a God complex. They get a little power, it goes to the head, and then they get a God complex. This is what happens. This can happen anywhere. And then also, too, once in a while, you will get some good social workers. You will. But because so many of them are bad and all they care about is money or power, as has been mentioned, because of the God complex or whatever, then either they leave. They actually leave the jobs, the good ones, because they can't stand the pressure because they're actually picked on because they have clicks, or they become like the others to keep their job. And they make a lot of mistakes along the way. You see, I've worked with emotionally disturbed kids who were in foster homes, and I do know where they came from, and I do know where they ended up. Some of them mm-hmm. turned out okay. Others did not. It's as simple as that. So I think the whole system should be broken down, torn apart, thrown out the window, and started over again. That's a big thing to say, and it's easy to say. But because so many children are in so much trouble today, and they grow up to be, if they do grow up, they grow up to be adults that are dysfunctional. So something's got to give somewhere.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Val?
Yeah, I agree. It needs an overhaul. We've got to look at it seriously. We've got to hold people accountable, and that's probably the key, is just holding people accountable. And, you know, we see it in all forms of government workers, especially, because there's not any accountability. It's hard to get fired from those jobs, and you're right. The people who really, really care, they either get burned out, they get worn down, they, you know, just can't care anymore, or they leave. And what are you left with? You're left with the bottom of the barrel. And, you know, and if there's no accountability, then it's never going to change, because people, you know, it's just the nature of people in those kind of jobs that they're just going to, you know, get away with that whatever they can and do the least that they can. And, you know, they're being rewarded for it. You know, some of them I don't even think, you know, that they are so egregiously wrong, because, you know, I was having this conversation with my husband about, you know, just generally in work situations. When you let somebody get right. away with it for so long, they believe that what they're doing is right.
Right.
We just need to have some accountability. It would be a good start.
Yeah, well...
You know,
there's so much trouble,
Chris,
out there. Go ahead.
We've had a bunch of comments I want to acknowledge in the chat room, especially earlier in the show, but one recent one that makes a lot of sense to me and it's pertinent from Chris says, that that people don't understand that foster kids lose years of their lives with one move. They, in other words, it's a lot of times for them it's one step forward and two steps back. It's not the other way around when they have a big change in their lifestyle. And the best thing for a foster kid or for any kid is to have consistency. And I understand what she's saying. She said one of her friends was moved 6 different times, and you know each time it took a bit of quality of life, a big piece of their quality of life away. And she's right. So we've had some good comments in the chat room. A lot of people with their hearts breaking about the stories that they've heard, and we want you to know that it is a good way to participate. We can't always include the chat room, especially when we have so many voices on the air like we do tonight. But it is a great way for people to participate, and occasionally, we will obviously bring questions or comments from the chat room to the attention of any of our hosts. We always run a chat room with our shows. Carol and Val, I may not come back to you, but I want to thank you both for being here. But I do want to conclude the show with giving an opportunity for Paula, Angela, and Deborah, and I'm going to open all three of their mics up to give us some final comments or final thoughts about tonight's topic. Paula, you want to start since you started first?
Yeah, you know, it just breaks my heart. I retired from the government December 2012. I did work mainly in the Ministry for Children and Income Assistance. And 20 years ago, when they formed the Ministry for Children and Families, a judge had handed down a bunch of recommendations of how they should run this ministry, so children don't die in care. And here we are 20 years later, none of the recommendations were followed, and the statistics are worse than ever. And it breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
There are some nights after spending 5-6 hours on our Facebook, fielding messages, fielding emails, that you can't help but go to bed and cry because your heart breaks for these children.
Mm-hmm. Right. And again, we're going to start moving away from the Facebook and onto your own website. But for right now, that's one of the ways that people can get in touch with you. And I do want to tell you, Paula, even since I last announced that I've made changes to the For Our Kids change, For Our Kids page, including since Deborah mentioned, you know, getting in touch with her through the page, I've made it obvious. Yes. And they added a second column to the little grid that's there. First of all, read the stories about, and it gives each of your names. And if they click on that, they'll get a PDF version of your story. And then below that, contact information for. And for Deborah, of course, it's on Facebook. For you, it's on Facebook. And for Angela, it's on LinkedIn. But this will give people a direct way to get in touch with each one of you specifically as well. That's clear and concise. And we'll work on things as we go along. But that's already posted. So, okay.
Awesome.
Okay, good. Angela, you want to make a comment to wrap up the show with?
Am I done echoing?
We can't talk until you talk.
Okay, well, actually, you know, I did want to say something really quickly. Since myself, I'm still in touch with a bunch of former foster kids or current foster kids, and I think one of the worst things that these kids are going through, some of them with autism and everything, is something that you said, they lack that stability. And so many advocates are trying to fight for that for these kids. I mean, really, some of the worst things you can do with some of these kids with medical conditions is to keep moving them and moving and moving them. You know, and children with autism, they're going to react to the constant movement, and they get the label, you know, and it's something like this really needs to be looked into and stopped for these kids. I mean, it's just heartbreaking all the time for these kids reaching out to me saying, you know, help me, what am I supposed to do? And I don't even know how to help them. I mean, I just try to talk them through it.
Mm-hmm. All right. And your echo got better. It didn't get eliminated, but it got better, whatever you did. So you're heading in the right direction. Let's get Deborah's final comment here so we can wrap up the show with the third and not last but not least, of course, Deborah, voice from the For Our Children, For Our Kids group. Final thoughts, Deborah?
Thank you, Bill. I actually wanted to say, first of all, don't let them beat you down. Don't let them make you believe you're disposable or invisible. Do not let them think that you being angry or emotional or hurt or upset or grieving over losing your child makes you wrong or you need to be medicated or you need to be in, I'll tell you, in our psychiatric wards and our hospitals, that's where these parents end up because that's where people go when they're suffering a temporary emotional trauma. That's not the same as having a mental illness where you need to be, you know, locked into a psychiatric hospital. And that is a word they are throwing around very capriciously, and it really disturbs me. You have people with bipolar or schizophrenia that take their medication and they take perfectly good care of their children. And so I don't want anybody letting them marginalize you more. Fight back. And the other thing I wanted to mention is you can go to YouTube or you can Google a documentary by Blackout called Powerful as God. And it covers Canada and the U.S. and it has a lot of stories from families and children. And there is one child in there about 10 years old and he's crying to his foster family and he says, I've been kidnapped. Where is my mommy and daddy? I miss them so much. I love them. Why don't they want to see me? And they follow up with some of these children, and they say, 10 years later when they're thrown on the street, they're like, we were told our parents never wanted us. And these are some of these parents died fighting for these children or went bankrupt or lost everything. But these children are led to believe. And same with Angela. I have a foster child coming to my house, in fact, next week, because we are constantly dealing with these foster children aging out of the system, no supports, no connection to their birth family, nothing to help them from the government, no education, on the street. They're homeless. They're on drugs. They're in shelters. And it's just, it's a tragedy from start to finish. You are destroying the children, and we all have to live in this future that they're creating for us, all of us.
Well, and I think that was a good wrap-up tonight, too. We're running out of time, but I do want everyone to know that we plan to do these this style of show every 2 weeks, and it'll always be Paula and Deborah and Angela's job to pull together whatever theme or topic they want to discuss as it relates to basically the welfare of our children, the rights of our children and families in North America. Some of the stories you'll hear are from Canada, others from the U.S., but they're so similar that they really are an awful lot of overlap and everything. In a future show, we'll have Zabeth Bain, whose story was a highlighted high-profile, precedent-setting case that was covered by the media, so it's pretty well known in most of Canada and some of the states. That'll be on a future show, perhaps next time, but we know that she's coming up, and there'll be other guests and other topics as well. I want to thank Deborah and Paula and Angela for being patient with me and with us. This is a new process for us to try and do something as pretty full-featured as this. I mean, as I say, Carol, we've got our own web page is devoted to it, but each of the shows will be described there, and as well as the link to the website that they are going to maintain specifically on these issues, because our website covers a lot of issues. But there's this one issue, the central issue being the rights of children and families in North America, and any information, support, or suggested action items on the topics and shows that they discuss will be on the website. They call it For Our Children. All you got to do is go to our page, For Our Kids, and click on the where it says click here for our children. You'll go to their page. So, Carol, I'm sure you join us in thanking them for bringing this project to us and for keeping it going.
Oh, I definitely want to thank you. And it's all about, you know, it's all about child abuse. No matter which way you look at it, whether they're being taken out of foster homes where they could actually get help and love like we were talking about earlier, or whether it's in foster care where they're being hurt, or whether it's the social service system itself where there's such a terrible breakdown it needs to be just chopped all apart and started over again. There's so much to talk about, so much work to do. Yes.
Right.
And I'm glad you're
here.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you, Carol and Valerie, who had to leave just a moment ago, both for being panelists tonight. And, of course, I want to briefly thank and mention the chat room that we always have open. But in there tonight was Chris with a C, Chris with a K, Faith, Jennifer, little girl, Vicky. We have quite a few people in there commenting, and maybe some who have already left that were there earlier and I didn't get a chance to acknowledge. But thanks to everyone who did participate in tonight's show. A reminder that we're on every night except Saturday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, and every other week on Thursday night, this group will come together and they'll bring to you another special topic show on the general theme for our children about the rights of children and families in North America. We thank them for tonight's edition. This is Bill telling you tomorrow night we have a special guest who I think you'll enjoy very much. She has a terrific sense of humor. In fact, she is a humorist, I think is a good way to describe her. She does some stage work and so forth. She's an actress as well. And the author of a memoir, and if you don't get the joke here, if my past wasn't so dark, my future wouldn't shine so bright. She's going to talk about that book and other things that she's involved with tomorrow night, Miss Neek from Minnesota. So we look forward to that. Thanks again for listening. May God bless you. God bless North America. God bless the children of the world. And God bless adult survivors of child abuse.
Blog Talk Radio.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard-to-recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.